Joining us in a studio, Javon Greenblatt. Javon is the director of the CSO, and they are about to start a charity, a fundraising campaign. As we have spoken about before, the CSO used to fall under a different type of communal funding. Now are responsible for funding themselves, and we are urging community to get behind funding this very, I mean, I don't even have words to say how crucial and how important this initiative is. And joining us in studio, good morning.
Good morning, Howard. How are you doing?
Excellent, thank you.
Good.
All right, so first of all, just give us a sense. What does the CSO do?
So the CSO is responsible, I suppose, the mission statement is to protect Jewish life and Jewish way of life, both being, I suppose, the same thing and very different. Jewish life, obviously protecting our community from harm, as we see anti-Semitism rise around the world and attacks against Jews in places like the States and places where you would never have expected it to happen at the level that it does. And then Jewish way of life, which really is probably the crux of everything, because as Jews, if we cannot live as Jews, well, we've been defeated. So really our mandate is both. They counteract each other and they work very well together. And we're responsible for ensuring that Jews are able to continue living in this country safely and proudly. And then I suppose the main focus of our organization really is to empower the community to protect itself. You cannot outsource your security to someone else. Countries that believed and communities in the Western world that believed they could outsource their security, whether it was to government or to police or to private security, are very quickly coming to realize that that doesn't work. And our mission, and really we are giving guidance and support to communities in the States and around the world now, is to empower Jews to protect themselves.
What's so interesting is that we've suddenly seen an incredible amount of attacks of anti-Semitism across the United States. They haven't geared themselves up, or they hadn't, towards their security. We, through the CSO, have actually become quite used to, and we've done this process slowly, as the CSO, as the organization, has recognized the need. And what's interesting to me is we find ourselves here in South Africa with one of the lowest incidents of anti-Semitism around the world, and yet we are well prepared in the event of something happening. And it is really due, I believe, to the foresight, to the strategy, to the planning of the CSO. And I can tell you that many years ago I was somebody who rolled my eyes thinking, oh, for goodness sake, security, you know, the guy, they love it, you know, there's no real threat, there's no real. And in fact, I was 100% completely wrong, not in terms of the threat here, but actually globally around the world. And I'm so deeply grateful that we do have the CSO that has anticipated where the world is at.
Thank you. Yes, I think the foresight of our founding members and fathers 25 years ago really was incredible. And we got a lot of flack for it, called alarmist. That we were trying to create something that wasn't there. But I think that we had very, very wise and insightful people that were able to look into the future based on current facts at the time and see where the world was going. And I think every single genocide around the world always kind of comes as a surprise to the rest of the world, but when you look at it in hindsight,
it should certainly have not have been.
You saw the signs, and we're very sensitive to those signs, and we're looking for the smallest signs so that we can prevent the biggest tragedies.
So let's talk about funding. What kind of budget does the CSO have? I mean, how many people do they employ? I know there are a lot of volunteers as well.
So obviously the CSO is predominantly volunteer based. We would never be able to do what we do without our amazing volunteers. But there's a full-time staff complement. it's a mixture of two things. So the office staff that run the day-to-day or administrate the day-to-day running of the organization, that is 21 staff members, including a 24-hour control room. So the staff member that man that 24-hour control room. Then we have approximately 35 paid armed protectors that stand various duties outside our schools and our shuls. Mm-hmm. Although that is part of the budget that is paid directly for by the facilities, the installations, and the money is literally, it comes into us and we pay those salaries. So that's really money in and out. To run the organization without the, what we call the IRT or the paid security element of it is 20 million a year. The vast majority of that goes into training. Really, the focus is on training the community, training our protectors, keeping them upskilled, making sure that they have the latest equipment and the necessary equipment and skills and the instructors to teach them. Then, of course, there are salaries to be paid. The salaries go very much to keeping the day-to-day running of the organization going. And then there is the cost, I suppose, of fundraising. There's the cost of running the office. And then there's the cost of really a large portion of our organization is understanding what's happening in social media, what's happening in the world, is predicting, researching, understanding that side. So a large portion of that cost also goes into researching the trends.
And, you know, I see that, you know, when schools, Jewish schools go on outings, or go away when the kids go on camp, there's always a CSO presence. Is there a set amount? I've seen people having CSO at functions. Do people pay for this type of thing?
So up until now, obviously the CSO, when it was funded by the community and by another organization, there was a fundraising specialist organization, we didn't charge. And maybe we should have, and maybe we should have foreseen what was coming. We can tell you what the threat to the community is.
Yeah, but not
the
threat to yourself.
Maybe that's interesting.
Well, you know what, it's very often the case. You're so busy focusing on your mission that you actually don't focus on other stuff.
Absolutely. So, we haven't traditionally charged for that. Obviously, in our new world since the beginning of last year, we did become responsible for raising our own funding. We have tried to put in models, but the truth is
the problem is you're in a catch-22 because if somebody says, sorry, I can't afford it, then you're not going to say, okay, so you're not going to have you're not going to have security.
And for many years.
But surely there's a moral obligation. I'm putting my neck out here, but surely there's a moral obligation on shuls and schools and anybody that uses the CSO to contribute towards expenses. I feel quite strongly about that.
And some organizations do. We do send out something saying this.
It should be part of
school
membership, surely.
And would you give a donation to some kind of value? But going forward, I guess we will have to think about it a lot harder.
I don't know. I feel quite strongly that organizations, you know, everybody, we've got the same, we don't have a lot of time, but we had pushback around, for example, doing an outside broadcast at Red Hill School, which is a school, there are lots of Jewish kids there, but it's not a Jewish school. And there are two arguments to that. One is, well, there are many Jews, so there are a number of Jewish kids there, and we believe in reaching them as well. That's the one aspect. And the second aspect is Chai.fm needs to be independent financially as well. Every organization is responsible for themselves. And I believe very strongly that the CSO does the most incredible work in our community. And people should understand that you can only do that great work if financially you're strong enough to be able to do that. So yes, there's a charity, and you'll give us that information before we leave, and we're asking people to assist with funding for the CSO. But I also believe that people should be talking to their communities and saying, hold on, are we assisting CSO? Why are we giving money to all sorts of other organizations when the pieces of paper sit there on Yom Kippur and organizations we've never heard of, and we pay all sorts of other things? Why aren't we paying CSO? I think it's a moral imperative on the community to do so.
I agree with you. I think it's a change in mindset. The community's never had to do it.
Mm.
The CSR will protect regardless, no matter what, because
that's
our moral obligation.
That's your challenge. Ours is to make sure that we are doing the right thing by making that
payment. In the new world and in our new reality that the community will have to start contributing and has started contributing as they become more aware of the value that we add to their day-to-day lives.
No question. All right. We are running out of time. In fact, we are out of time, but I don't want to let you go before we get this information. You're running a charity campaign starting at 10 a.m. this morning, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. tonight, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. tomorrow night.
That is correct. So it's running over the times that you mentioned. Obviously, the website will be open throughout the full 48 hours, so people can go anytime to our website and contribute to donate. The website address is charity.com/CSOJHB. That's http://// charity with a D.com/CSOJHB. And if people, the lines may be busy because it is predominantly an outgoing call center, but if people do want to phone in and contribute, the number is 010-040-9608.
All right. And to just go ahead and make a donation. We're going to check in tomorrow morning, see how it is going, see how today went, in order to talk about tomorrow as well. It is 9:01. Good luck. Thank you for taking the time to come and speak to us. Go and support the CSO. Their work is incredibly important to every single one of us.